This train is for Liverpool Central. The next station is...
This is a podcast from Merseyrail Sound Station, the new music network. Recorded live by Tankville Studios and Fallen Industries.
Hello and welcome to the last Merseyrail Sound Station podcast for 2016. I cannot believe I'm saying that. December is upon us, people. We're nearly there. It's been a tough year in some ways, but for Merseyside music, which is what we are all about, it's been absolutely fantastic. And that is what we're going to focus on today. So if you're tucking into your turkey, planning your New Year's Eve party, then this is the podcast to hear what Merseyside has sounded like in the past 12 months. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking to Chris Torpy, Sam Turner, both from Beedo Lito magazine. We're going to get their highlights, playing the tracks which best represent 2016 in Liverpool. So with that in mind, let's kick off with one of our favourite bands. They've been in this studio at Tankfield before. They've recorded with us for the Merseyrail Sound Station podcast. That was way back in June 2014. Fast forward to November 2016, and they brought out their second album on legendary label Heavenly. Of course, I'm talking about the mighty Houghton Tennis Club, and this is Growing Concerns from Big Box of Chocolates.
Losing my mind? Why am I even
You're listening to Merseyrail Sound Station, the new music network. Planning on heading out to a live gig this month? Get there by train.
It certainly is the Merseyrail Sound Station podcast December edition. Christmas is nearly upon us. And that was Houghton Tennis Club. Great, great band. We've shouted about them lots. That is called Growing Concerns. So with us now, we've got two of the guys from Bido Lito. Obviously, we speak to Chris every month and get a bit of a gig guide from him about what's going on in Merseyside. We've got two of you in this time. We've got Sam Turner.
Gate crashing.
We got Chris with us again. And we're going to kind of look back on the past 12 months. So something a little bit different this month, which I'm looking forward to. We've got to kick off with Bido Lito. You're both part of Bido. Tell us, for anyone that's listening right now and they don't know, what is Bido Lito?
Bido Lito, well, I hope people would know about it, but it's the monthly music magazine for and about the music scene, the music community, and I suppose the independent creative culture that's going on in Merseyside at the moment. So a lot of the time we're focusing on breaking artists, new musicians who are treading the boards and performing at all the great events and festivals and shows that happen on a daily basis in Liverpool. So we feature all those, we profile them, hopefully bring them to a wider audience, and then hopefully pick out some of the more interesting elements that are going on and around this amazingly creative community that exists around Merseyside, around all different facets of culture.
And it's free as well, and you can pick it up in so many places.
It's free, it's printed on pink paper, it's got a funny name, you should be able to pick it up and notice it. It's across
200 stockists,
wow. There you go. So a variety.
Give us two of them, so we know.
Bull Street Coffee, I was in there earlier on.
Okay.
A big stack of Bido Litos in there, which is always nice to see. Opposite Bull Street Coffee, there's Fact Cinema.
You could have diversified this a little bit more.
I was trying to think of
one in
Chester.
The Wirral and one in Liverpool.
So in the library in Wallasey and New Brighton, you can get it in there.
Bull Street Coffee, perfect.
Record shops, coffee shops, music venues, anywhere really that's kind of like loosely associated with kind of the creative culture that we're talking about.
Brilliant. So big year, and it's good kind of seeing yous every month and seeing how the magazine evolves and grows every single month as well. Personal highlights, Sam, what's been the best thing for you about working at Bido in 2016?
I mean, there's, like you said, there's been so many, but I think in May this year we did a big event as part of Light Night. It was called No West, There Is None, which was a big epic orchestral event we did in partnership with Ad Hoc Creative, which is Ad Hoc are a property group. We get together with them and kind of shout about what they do by putting on huge events like the one in Liverpool Cathedral that we did in May. That was based on a piece of music by Bill Ryder-Jones and Dan Thorne from Immix Ensemble. Took the music and sort of broadened it out, made a huge, huge event.
So it was a massive spectacle, wasn't it, in the cathedral with a huge visual display.
It was beautiful. I remember that night. It's so mad that you say it was May because it feels like yesterday. I've never seen anything like it. It was one of them things that you kind of had to be there to experience it, and it was so busy as well. From people from all walks of life were in the cathedral to watch it, and not only that, the cathedral was the perfect place to put that on as well, wasn't it?
It's huge because it's so vast, the space, but it kind of really amplified what, not just the music but the reading of a poem that was the inspiration of Bill's The No West There Is None by Jared Manley Hopkins, which was the inspiration for it, and that was read out as part of the performance, and it was just one of those moments where you think the crowd are just awed by what they're seeing. So that was again,
and every element was brilliant. The music was amazing, the reading, like Chris says, and then the visuals, which were by Sam Wheel, who he supplies the visuals for Psychfest, and there's a whole kind of visual identity for that festival, but that lent itself so well to music that Bill did and what Dan did with that piece of music as well.
We can probably, I'm presuming, we can still see photos and I know you can still see videos if you go to the Guy Liverpool things. We've got a great video of that night. You guys have got some great photos as well from then as well. Can we find them online?
Yeah, on bidolito.co.uk you'll be able to find a full gallery of photos from the event, which will hopefully explain the scope of the event.
Yeah, because you've got
to
see it.
It's quite difficult to explain it.
There's so many elements to it. Yeah, it's very difficult to get across kind of the scale of it and all the different things that came together.
Yeah.
The fact that Light Night was involved as well was really good, and they always have something every year that happens at that cathedral, and I'm glad that we could put something on that kind of lives up to that reputation for that element of the festival.
It's a great night, really good night.
And just from my point of view, just to kind of jump in, I mean, from my point of view this year, one of the big things we were, I was really, really made up to be involved with was our From Liverpool With Love collaboration that we did. It was presented at Lymph on one of the live stages this year. So that was where we got Johnny Eccles from the band Love, which I think we came on and spoke about.
So this, this is Lymph. That was Away From Late Night.
Away From Late Night. So earlier, so
this
in
is,
July.
This is Chris's favourite. So this is Lymph. Now, this was special. This was Craig was telling us about this, and he was like a kid in a sweet shop getting really excited for what was going to be put on in Sefton Park. Tell us what it was.
So, well, Bidolito's name comes from a club that was in LA in the 1960s. It was off Sunset Boulevard. And the house band at the time were Arthur Lee's band Love. And then later on, they got signed to Elektra label, who then signed the Doors on Love's recommendation. And the Doors went huge. And Love were kind of like left to be kind of a bit of a cult band, really. But they were very much around kind of black empowerment and the kind of social movements around that time in America. And then later on, it just transpired that it became a very cult album in Liverpool. The album Forever Changes, which was their main primary album, became a massive favourite in Liverpool. And then Arthur Lee came and played some shows here in the 90s, and he said it was his favourite live show ever when he played in Liverpool. The band Shaq supported him, and he loved them so much that he asked them to be his backing band when he went on tour. And they became like part of Liverpool culture and folklore, really. And so that's where we kind of got our name from, and it was lovely to be able. Unfortunately, Arthur Lee died a few years ago, but Johnny Eccles, his best friend and the founder member of the band, was touring the Forever Changes, and we managed to kind of convince him to come and do this special showcase event at Lymph. So we presented from Liverpool With Love. He played live on the stage, and we got him in a studio with a variety of musicians: Edgar Jones, Nick Ellis, Tom Warcroft was involved, John Power from Cast was involved, and they all came and performed a variety of an ensemble performance of Love's greatest hits on stage.
Amazing, yeah.
It was one of those special moments. I think I saw a lot of people who I know and a lot of people I didn't know watching it at the time who were obviously huge Love fans, and to see an original member of the band performing with current and high-profile musicians in Merseyside. I think it was a special moment for a lot of people. So brilliant. That would be my highlight from the year.
So that was your... So Sam, you went for Late Night, and Chris, for something that Lymph, so you went for the Love concert. Any plans for both them events in 2017 with Bidolito? Late Night, anything?
I'm sure we'll do something with Late Night this year. As yet, we have to have that conversation, but we'll definitely be back to tell you all about it.
I mean, yeah, they're both brilliant events that kind of put the focus on Liverpool, and to be able to do those two things, completely different things that involved all the different facets of great creativity that goes on in the city, it's brilliant to be able to do that. So we would love to be able to do it again. As Sam said, we don't quite know what that they might be yet, but I'm sure they will be, and we'll be on air to tell people about it when
they do. And as well, people will be on the brand new Bidolito website, which launches very, very soon, already. Tell us about the new website. What can we expect?
It's a website that kind of... it gives the right platform to the great content that we've produced since we began, like over 6 years ago. So at the moment, everything's kind of on this little PDF, which kind of tucked away. So we feel like we needed something to let that content kind of speak for itself. So this website has every single feature, review and interview that we've put together for Bido over the years. And it can be shared online. Everyone can access it. And hopefully it'll be out by the time people can hear this podcast.
If not, it'll be definitely here for 2017 or early 2017. So check that
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. 2018 maybe, but...
Yeah, well, don't say that. Touchwood. Lads, thank you. We're going to come back in just a little bit. We're going to ask a big, big question. Your favourite gigs in Merseyside for 2016. Before we do that, though, let's get some more music on. This is Fuss and Mother Nature on the Merseyrail Sound Station podcast.
Thank you.
listening to Merseyrail Sound Station. Check out MerseyrailSoundStation.com for exclusive videos and photographs from this month's live session.
That was Force and Mother Nature on the Merseyrail Sound Station podcast, the December edition. Hope you're good. Thank you for checking us out. Don't forget, get us online as well, MerseyrailSoundStation.com. Something different this month. We've got no live session. We're kind of looking back at some of the best from the past 12 months. Some great live sessions on the way. Stay where you are for Sam Volo live at Tankfield Studios. But right now, Chris and Sam from Bido Lito are kind of looking back and dissecting music on Merseyside in 2016. Best gigs. Let's start with you, Chris.
Jay, this is a tough one. Okay, I'm going to go for one that stuck out because of the story that was attached to it. Mm-hmm. I went to a show at the Music Room, New Philharmonic Music Room. Unfortunately, there weren't loads of people there, but with those people who were there, I think everyone walked out beaming. The show was Scott Fagan. Scott Fagan released an album in 1967, I think it was, called South Atlantic Blues. He was originally from the British Virgin, or the US Virgin Islands. And then he moved to New York, kind of penniless, and wrote this album, put it out, kind of went nowhere. Almost like a kind of similar parallel to Rodriguez, who was the star of the Searching for Sugarman documentary a few years back. And he was just one of those lost artists that kind of had a fleeting moment and then dipped kind of out of consciousness. And then the album was found, was discovered in 2 years ago and was reissued, and people have realised how great an album it is, and it is an absolutely stunning album. It was one of the most played albums, I think, in our office this year.
Yeah.
And just being able to go and see him, being able to bask in that acclaim that had been so overdue for him, and but was so deserving as well. The album is an absolute brilliant piece of work, and I managed to kind of have a little chat to him afterwards, and he signed my record. And interestingly, it's another little bit of a story. His album cover was taken by an artist who was in New York at the time, and they made it into a piece of art that was shown at their exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and they invited him to it, and he was like gobsmacked that they'd found his. It was actually called Scott Fagan Record, was the name of the piece of artwork. So that's actually the front cover of the repressed issue, so it could be worth a bit of money in a few years, that yeah, album nice. That I bought and that he signed. So, but no, that was one of those ones that kind of gets you kind of quite deep in your core when you think, oh, this is something quite special, this, and you're probably never going to see anything like it again.
Okay. So Scott Fagan for
Scott
you.
Scott Fagan, yeah.
Sam, tough question.
For me,
what, have you got one?
Yeah, for me, it's as much for the venue as it is the artist. It was the first gig that I went to see in the Invisible Wind Factory. Mm-hmm. I think this was back in March, a band called Parquet Courts, and I think there's a lot of worry about the Casimir closing down and the kind of hole that would leave in Liverpool's music scene. But then to go there and see the amazing things that the gang behind the Casimir had done with that space just kind of allayed those fears. And then Parquet Courts are an incredible band as well. So it was it kind of all came together on a really special gig.
Okay, so Invisible Wind Factory. They are now, it's been around for a while, they're putting on their iconic New Year's show this New Year's Eve. So if you listen to this beforehand, it's kind of back for the Casimir show at Invisible Wind Factory. It's going to be a good night, that one, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, it's called Caves of Cavonia or something along those lines.
Weird like that, yeah.
Well, their closing event for New Year of the Casimir, which kind of like put the Casimir,
yeah,
drew a line under it. That was just the most fabulous piece of music, stroke theatre, stroke out there weirdness that I've ever seen. There was a crane outside, there was a big fire pit. I've never seen anything like it attached to a music venue, but it was stunning. And then they kind of launched the venue prior to that Parquet Court show with this amazing event that they called Omphalos, which was about the theory of invisible wind, which they built a great narrative around the venue in itself. And they put on this kind of like promenade event and then a party and a show. They are just unbelievably creative, these people. And it's great that they found a new vessel to kind of deliver that in the Wind Factory, in the kind of emergent North Docks area, which I think is going to be somewhere which we'll be talking about a lot more in the future, for not just for hosting shows, but as a kind of a creative hub, another creative hub.
It's
Liverpool.
Funny, I remember last year, probably around October time, and Craig was throwing forward to the Invisible Wind Factory, and he said that's going to be big and starting to get big in 2016. He was right.
It has.
It's kind of started. I don't think it's right there yet, is it?
But it's really beginning to establish itself, I think, which is a relief, because I mean, it is a little bit out on a limb out up there in the cold North Dock area, but they're putting on huge shows. Like, there was Peaches there last month, and that was kind of, I think it was a near sellout, and it looked amazing. The Liverpool Music Week closing party was there, and that was a huge success.
Well, just on that, I just want to throw another little one in because I wasn't happy with just
picking
one gig.
You're not allowed to have two. No.
At the Music Week closing party, Azuzana, Zuzu, we featured in the mic last year, she was stunning. And also, the Corals closing show at Sound City was
pretty
stunning.
See, that's what I was going to say. That was my one.
Oh, sorry.
You robbed my one.
No, that was one of those moments, isn't it?
I really, really like that, yeah. Very, very much.
And BC can play at Leaf was really good as well.
Haven't they got something else happening around New Year?
Coral are playing at the Olympia.
When is that?
That is, I might be by the time this podcast comes out, or might be the
Saturday the 10th of December.
If you've seen it, I'm sure you had fun. we've got to play another track. We're going to come back and we've spoken gigs. We're going to talk festivals, okay? There's been so many festivals this year. There's literally been something every weekend covering every genre of music. So we'll talk about that in just a sec. But right now, another band that we love on the Merseyrail Soundstation podcast. This is A Perfect Rhythm from the Vril Society. Vril Society, that is A Perfect Rhythm on the Merseyrail Soundstation podcast. They have had such an incredible year, lads. The Vril Society, thoughts?
I think they're a brilliant band. Unfortunately, I missed that show that they've just played at the Invisible Wind Factory. I was looking forward to going to that, though. Unfortunately, I was away that weekend. But I think they are I'm excited about what will come from them.
Hopefully, there'll be an album next year.
I think that's the plan. There's maybe another EP to come early next year and then an album towards the end of next year. They had a great year at festivals then. Yeah. So one.
festivals, literally, there's been something every single weekend, whether it's a small festival, whether it's a massive festival, whether it's a soul or a jazz or a reggae festival, there's been something all the time. We've used every bit of space that we possibly can in Merseyside to put these on.
And won lots of awards for it this
and
region.
We did. Well, it was
Liverpool Festival City.
We certainly are. City of Music and award winners, because Sound City, Liverpool Music Week and
Positive Vibrations.
All
and
won.
Creamfields.
And Creamfields as well, which was brilliant. So, two favourites. Now, obviously, we've got big festivals, we've got small festivals. So, let's do a big one and a little one each.
Okie doke. Well, obviously, Sound City was the second year at Bramley Moor Dock. We mentioned the Corals headline show. Right?
Did I see you that night?
Yes, and we bumped into each other that night, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was the end of a long weekend.
Yes.
There was some great stuff there. I mean, I thought Sam Volo was particularly brilliant in his kind of evening set. I mean, the Coral just kind of finishing it off was a real lovely kind of way to round everything. Floating Points live set in the Freeze Baltic Warehouse was one of the best live performances I've seen this year.
In there this year, wasn't it? That was so, that kind of added a whole new dimension to Sound City.
It was surreal, wasn't it? Seeing like a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, but it was like a proper going for it, throw your arms up in the air like you just don't care nightclub. It was really, really good.
Perfect for that venue as well. The warehouse space was. I mean, the Sound City are moving site next year to the Clarence Dock, which is just.
So tell us about this. So we got Bramley Moor Dock, where the Docker's Clock is, which is kind of just opposite Titanic Hotel around that area. Where's this other dock?
It's the other side of the Docker's Clock. So if everyone went to Sound City this year, I think they went to the Atlantic stage, the main stage where the Coral played, where Catfish and the Bottlemen played. The Docker's Clock would have been behind that, and then the Liverpool Skyline would have been then behind that on kind of like the horizon. Right. So Clarence Dock is the site on the other side of that. So I think it's
nearer to the Titanic Hotel.
Yeah, and nearer to the city centre.
Will that main stage still have the skyline as a backdrop?
I'm not entirely sure which way they're going to do it. Yes, I would imagine they probably will do the main stage.
That to me is incredible.
And you'll be able to see it a bit better, because it'll be that bit closer as well, I think, this year.
It's the 10-year anniversary of Sound City this year as well. So
they're going to pull out all the stops. Sound City 2017, that is in May, of course. We'll bring you lots of news on that right here, and with Bido Lito as well. Sam, your favourite big festival of the year?
I can say this because I'm not as involved in it as Chris, but for me, PsychFest was the highlight for me. It's brilliant every year, and it seems to have got better and better. This year, the headliners from the bands that I've never heard of, and it is usually 95% bands that I've never heard of, were all incredible. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, mine was 110%, so that's all right.
I'm doing better than you. So PsychFest for me was the best big festival.
Funny, my line of the weekend at PsychFest, I went on the Friday evening and we'd done some filming and stuff there, and was when Chris said to me, you won't believe it until you're actually there experiencing it. And I didn't quite get what he meant until I went and experienced it. You walk around and you are just blown away. Every room, every bit of space, every outsider, it's just amazing.
It's sensory overload, isn't it? And that's the whole kind of idea.
You don't need a drink, do you know what I mean?
No.
You can kind of just go with it.
Hopefully there's enough nourishment in like the music and the visuals and the feeling. I suppose drink helps some people get in that state, but the whole idea is that you're pitching people into this immersive world that is a bit of an assault on the senses. And hopefully that facilitates people to get into that kind of like dreamy, weird state that, you know, some people call psychedelia, some people call other things.
But, I certainly did, and I wasn't drinking. I thought it was fantastic. So I'll look forward to that in 2017. Sam, your favourite smaller festival? So we've got things like Threshold, we've got things like Liverpool Soul Fest, for instance. What would you say?
There's a new festival called Folk on the Dock, which I really enjoyed at Albert Dock. So that was the first year for that. I caught Elna Nelly there. She was really good. We had a couple of bands that we kind of invited along for that as well. The Lost Brothers, who were personally a really favourite band of mine.
Yeah.
And Laura J. Martin as well, who we really like. So, and it's great that there's still new festivals. You thought like 2015, that's as many festivals that Liverpool can cope with. But there's still new festivals coming
big,
along.
Big venues like the Albert Dock.
Positive Vibrations that we mentioned before as well, a new festival. I think I've just stolen.
You've actually stolen
that. Now you know how it feels, Chris, talking. Positive Vibrations, this is the reggae festival, basically.
Yeah, so a little late, I'm talking the Festival Award, for they won Best New Festival at the Festival Award. They beat things like Blue Dot, to that award, which I think is a massive, massive accolade. The guys from Rebel Soul run it. I think it massively deserved that they won that because they put a lot of effort and energy into the festival and really give great representation to a music form that probably doesn't get as much of a kind of a showcase in Liverpool, but it's got such a great history. They had Levi Tafari there this year delivering some of his poetry, and he helped kind of explain that route of how important reggae music is to was the black community and getting them to kind of assimilate with the existing community in Liverpool when that happened. So it's very much linked to Liverpool's heritage.
And I think they've got a lot in common, Positive Vibrations and Psychfest, because it's they're both run by people who really love the genre of music that it's representing, and also it's kind of makes a lot of sense where it is as well.
Was it in Constellations?
It was in Constellations.
Constellations in the Baltic Triangle. So I look forward to seeing that kind of grow and expand in 27, especially after winning that award. Surely it's only got to get bigger now. So
definitely
exciting times
for them. They've already made some announcements for next year, and I've been speaking to the guys who are involved because they were very keen to tell me some of the names, which I must keep under wraps. But they're planning even bigger things next year.
Wow. Okay. So that. Cool. Look forward to hearing from them. We've got to touch on Africa. Oh, yay. That was a great year for them in Sefton Park. That was a great couple of days, and the sun was shining as well.
Well, it wasn't the first day. It was raining, wasn't it? Mbongwana Star played on the second day, but they managed to rescue it.
That was
everyone.
The day I didn't go.
Yeah.
Probably because it was raining.
Yeah, that was the Sunday, but that was one of those moments where it kind of, people who may have been flagging were kind of revived by the band's energy. Mm-hmm. And they're a fantastic band anyway. So
they are great. It was funny, I think I seen a video or something there, and then seeing them in Glastonbury as well. It was amazing.
Yeah, I saw
Liverpool last week.
The Glastonbury performance.
Africa, 2017,
it was their 25th year.
25th anniversary for them, yeah. Everyone's having anniversaries next year. I haven't heard exactly what they're planning, but I think they keep saying they've got big plans, and I definitely believe them. I think it's going to be something that kind of encompasses the whole city and probably plays out throughout the year as well, rather than just
one weekend.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, listen, talking Africa Oyé this year, they introduced Africa Oyé Introducing, and that artist was Sam Volo for 2016. He's had an amazing year. He's doing big, big things, and I'm sure 2017 will be big for him. We're going to play his live session. Sam was here at Tankfield Studios, and this is called Sapphires.
Write about love, cause can't write a song that does justice. You say make do, write about points of view, and write about deja vu, and write about left without you, like, it's not that easy. Oh, it's not that easy. Oh, it's not that easy. But it's overdue, yeah. It's overdue. With a right about you. All I knew was love, and I knew was love. With a right about you. All I knew was love, and see, I'm glad you flew. I was about to come through, boy. You pursued me, now you're crowned in jewels. Perfume got 1,000 fools. You dance with the truth, now you dance like your name's burned on a blue moon. Like that's that easy. That's that easy. Oh, that's that easy, yeah. But it's, yeah, it's overdue. When I write about you, all I knew was love, and when I write about you, all I knew was love, and yeah. about you. All I do was love, and all I do was love, and write about you, yeah.
Incredible stuff. That was live in session right here at Tankfield Studios on that very microphone. Sam Volo, Sapphires, on the Merseyrail Soundstation podcast. Big year in 2017 for Sam Volo, Sam.
Absolutely, yeah, and well deserved. He's doing some really interesting things. I was speaking to Dan from Astles, who obviously we know well here. He's been in his studio, Sam, and he was telling me how busy he is and the interesting artists that he's working with over there. So again, it'll be interesting to see what he's got in store for 2017.
He's an architect by trade, Sam, by what he's done through university.
Yeah, it's mad,
so
isn't he?
He's got everything lined up, what he wants to do, and that is he's got some serious ideas, like, and he can execute it. He's one of the artists that people around the country are talking about most. Excited to see what he does.
Yeah, brilliant. Really looking forward to seeing that. And he was kind of made and crafted his talent here in Liverpool.
Well, yeah, I think where he found himself really, and kind of got involved with kind of a rock scene and a bit of an R&B and a rap scene as well, and kind of put them both together and developed into what he is now.
Such a cool guy as well.
He's the coolest guy in the world. You just feel like the biggest divvy in the world when you're stood next to him.
Exactly.
He's just so cool. Right, who's had a good year? Out of all the Merseyside artists we can think of, Chris, let's start with you. Pick one band or one musician that's had a great 2016.
For me, I think Trudy and the Romance have been one of the standout years in terms of like local artists. We put them on our front cover earlier this year. I think it was around about April or March, and they've just kind of gone on a massive run, releasing single after single. Their latest stuff has been really good. They've moved into a different direction. They may have come across as quite funny when they started just doing this kind of weird doo-wop 50s throwback style guitar music, but they're actually one step ahead of all of us, I think. The way they've kind of, especially the way they developed it since, it's going to come a little bit darker and a little bit grittier. They're a band who I think will go, and they had one of the better showings of all the bands at the Great Escape this year, which is always a good sign for the bands who are kind of on the way up, very much kind of on a really good
festival,
at the Great Escape Festival, yeah. So I think what they've shown so far this year, though I think they've had a great year, I think they'll have an even better year next year. Brilliant. I'm really excited. I like them as well. I really like the band. They're a great band, live band to watch. And just speaking to them, they've got a lot of energy for what they do.
We need to get them on this podcast.
Definitely.
We do.
That's your job, Sam, for 2017.
Definitely, yeah. Oh, I'd love to. I'd love that. Yeah, I've seen them in a few different kind of circumstances as well. Like I saw them at Limb Festival on a big kind of field stage, Sound City on a festival stage as well, and it worked really well there. They really get the crowd energized. But then they played one of our Beat Olito socials as well, which I think that was actually last year. But they were absolutely brought the room to life. As well, no one had heard of them really. But the first band on, they were brilliant.
Great.
Yeah,
brilliant. So that's Trudy and the Romance. Sam, your choice, mate.
I'd probably go with She Drew the Gun. Who, like, there's a lot of bands in Merseyside that we shout about, and a lot of fantastic bands who deserve all the plaudits they get on Merseyside. But I think She Drew the Gun are one of the ones who have really broken through this year. Obviously, they won the Glastonbury Emerging Talent Award as well, and well deserved. That album is brilliant, and she's Louise has been someone who's kind of worked her way up as like from a solo star to this band setup that she's got now. It works really well in that context, and the album sounds really, really good.
It's been played so much on Six Music as well this year, and Steve Lamack.
Steve Lamack has
declared himself a huge fan, and like what Sam said there, I mean, sometimes you can get a bit of a bubble, Liverpool, and you think, oh, who's had a good year in Liverpool? Who's played loads of gigs? Who's released a very good song? That's kind of quite, that's one measure of it, but She Drew the Gun and Trudy, as we said, but She Drew the Gun have massively made an impact outside the city.
Yeah, nationally. It's so, so good to see, and seeing them as they started and kind of watching them now and lying in your tent on a Sunday morning hungover and hearing their music and playing from the John Peel stage. They played like three times in Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Did they play the Pyramid stage?
That was the competition prize, but then they played two other times as well.
Another artist who was on the final of the Merseyrail Soundstation prize.
I think it was two years ago.
And
to see how they've grown now since they played that. And I said that in the festival day to kind of make the other finalists realise this is a big platform that you're standing on right now. And we've got to touch on that. We've got to look back at, because we haven't had a chance to yet, the Soundstation final of this year in Moorfields. To me, it was probably the best one. I don't know why. There was something really special about that day and the artists that we chose. And they were all so passionate. They all wanted to win so much. But then the guy that won, Astles, to me, was just the worthy winner. He deserved it so much. And all the artists were great, but he was special, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he kind of stood out because he made the whole room go quiet, didn't he? A really kind of like haunting performance with a lot of delicacy, and it was quite moving when he was explaining some of the reasons behind his songs. But the other exciting thing about him that the rest of the judges and myself were discussing when we were deciding who of the 10 was winning, which you know, we took the longest of all the deliberations, by the way.
We were there
because of how strong it was.
From November, what date was it? The 18th?
19th.
Until December the 1st, trying to work out who should win. Because they were all that good. That's why it took so long.
But one of the reasons that made Attle stand out just a little bit more was because everyone could see that there's potential for so much more in him. And that's kind of borne out by some of the ideas he's got in how he wants to develop himself and collaborations he wants to do and how else he can present that music, that really kind of moving, interesting form of expression, really. That's what it is. It's just pure emotion. And
That's the great word for it, expression. He really knows how to do that well, doesn't he? He's brilliant. And check out last month's podcast because we got a live session here at Tankfield from Astles, and it sounded just superb, so check that out. Okay, we'll come back in just a little bit and we'll talk about 2017, what the magazine holds and everything else, and what Soundstation holds for the next year. This artist, though, is someone else that's done very well this year, Ellen and Nelly. Absolutely. She's been gigging everywhere. This was live at Tankfield Studios. She's an incredible singer. This is called Something's Got to Give on the Merseyrail Soundstation podcast.
They said it's not okay to act proud, so when I'm down I turn my music low. Pain is at my fingertips, while other girls create storms with their hips. So every look you give, three long years of being the baby of the herd. Now it's time my songs are played and heard. Cherry blossom goes on the mountainside. Finally, it's mine. Time to shine, to show them I can win this and this fight. But oh, something's gotta give, 'cause I can feel the blood run cold on my fingertips. Joni Mitchell and the smell of oak and wine. What a time to be alive. But oh, something's gotta give, 'cause I can feel the hate behind every look I give. There's a fire in my heart, it's a reason to live. Oh, so
you're listening to Merseyrail Sound Station, the new music network. Planning on heading out to a live gig this month? Get there by train.
Great stuff. Eleanor Nelly, Something's Got to Give. You're going to be hearing that name a lot in 2017. She's fantastic, isn't she?
Yeah, she's brilliant. And one of the standout, I mean, I was lucky, I was lucky to be on the kind of judging panel for the Lymph Academy this year. And she was one of the, she was the standout artist. And I think she'd been one of the standout artists the year before as well.
She but was the one to watch the year before.
She was the one to watch the year before, which was kind of like a category that was almost kind of created for her because she was, now she's 16 now, but she's got so much talent in her already. But then the thing, the potential of where she might go is quite frightening, really. But obviously in a really good way. So,
I think there's a lot of parallels between Eleanor and Astles that we were talking about before.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of two artists that just really good songwriters, but they've also got ambitions to kind of take that to different places. And yeah, like we say, very exciting.
Brilliant. That is Eleanor Nelly we're talking about there. Okay, 2017, let's pick out something that you want to happen in Merseyside music, whether it be a festival we haven't already got, whether it's be an artist that you want to see do really well.
I think we've got every festival that can be, can't there? So, I mean, I think the massively exciting thing for Liverpool next on Merseyside in general, especially with kind of potential for devolution coming up with the Liverpool City region mayoral election coming up in, I think, end of 2017, is what Liverpool and the wider city region does with the UNESCO City of Music badge and how that might develop and how it can affect or help kind of serve this great community that we talked about. We've talked about so many artists already here and festivals that make up what is a fascinatingly diverse and intricate infrastructure around music in the city. So I think that badge was awarded to Liverpool at the end of 2015 as a kind of an acknowledgement for everything that happens. Liverpool stepped up again this year with even more events and festivals and things going on. Anything like Lymph Academy with the support that puts into local music is fabulous. And then you've got something like the Git Award, which kind of celebrates all those artists at another level higher up. These are great initiatives, and you've got like Merseyside Arts Foundation, which again does support for some of the artists that we've talked about. Well, I think maybe if you look back, if you look at over 50% of the artists that have been either played on this podcast or spoken about in the past 12 months have had support from them. So it's one of those processes that is getting better and better and better. Yeah.
I think there's a nice shift as well at the moment in the last like couple of years, really, from kind of celebrating Liverpool as a music city because of its heritage and because of, you know, the bands that we all know that we don't have to mention, to like celebrating what's happening in the city now. So things like Lymph came out of Matthew Street Festival, which was basically a covers band festival celebrating great bands, but bands that are in the past, whereas Lymph has Lymph Academy. It has great bands from the city who are playing a trade in the city at the moment, and it's celebrating that. And hopefully this UNESCO badge will kind of carry on that trend rather than looking back, looking forward.
And then you look at things like the British Music Experience, which is coming in next year, and stuff like that, kind of taking it to an international level and making, you know, the big stars are going to be playing here for that, and it's bringing that to Liverpool too. So it all adds to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's only increasing all that, and there are more events and productions that are coming to Liverpool because they want to tap into that, and they know there's an appetite for it, and they know that there's a great synergy with what's going on creatively in Liverpool. And so obviously the Beatles and the heritage of that will always play a massive part in tourism and in spreading the name of Liverpool around the world. But I think the exciting thing for next year and the year beyond and the year beyond that is how the creative community that exists now and thrives now engages with that and kind of can help change that narrative, or add, maybe not change, but add to the narrative of Liverpool's Music City as a great place to come and experience live music, have a great time, enjoy the culture, and also kind of be involved in it and create here. So I think that's an exciting one.
It's going to be a good 2017. Stick around. And of course, Beto Lito and the Merseyrail Sound Station podcast will bring you lots and lots of news. Talking Beto Lito, Sam, where are we up to? What can we expect in January?
So, quite exciting January. We'll see the a refresh of the magazine. We're kind of going to play with the design a little bit, kind of open it out to more. I mean, we do it anyway. We cover kind of broader cultural aspects of what's going on in the city. We're going to kind of push that forward a little bit. So we've got the first Beto Lito social of the new year. We'll be at Huss, where we had the sound station sort of after party.
It's a great little venue, by the way.
Fantastic.
Brilliant place.
And we've got a band, The Orioles, who I think we've mentioned, who've been on the podcast before. So they're going to play. They've just signed to Heavenly Records. So it's very exciting. That, along with the new website, which Chris is going to launch when he gets back to the office.
Yeah, I'm going to press the big red button and go back.
And,
going
and
to
what's
go
that web address so people know? Beto Lito.
BetoLito.co.uk. So there'll be a range of, as Sam said before, all the content, all the features, articles, interviews we've ever done with any other artist or anything we've ever done in the past 6 years. It's going to be on there for you to have a look at when we go live. Loads of exclusive content, interviews with past cover artists, exclusive mixes,
it's going to be loads. Get on and rummage around and explore. Definitely. And kind of look back at the past. That's really, really exciting.
That's the whole idea.
It's been really interesting kind of uploading that content that we've had from the past, like I said, 6 years. There's a lot of characters that are kind of still around now, but who have gone through various guises in their careers.
But it'd be good to look back on that one.
Exactly, yeah.
And just to add, Mr. Eanes are supporting on the Orioles at that social at Huss and Tide Barn Street on the 20th of January.
So 20th of January.
20th of January. Ones to watch for 2017.
Sorry, 26th of January.
26th of January, sorry.
26th of January. Come on, Editor-in-Chief.
Sorry, I don't. I just write about the stuff.
So that is at Huss. Seriously, check Huss out if you get a chance. They've got a great little upstairs restaurant and bar, then downstairs is this fantastic little space to put a gig on, so that'll be a good one. 26th of Jan. Lads, thank you so much for coming in. Have a great Christmas.
You too, thank you.
We'll be back in 2017 with more lives. Have we booked anyone yet, Sam? Anyone?
It's a secret.
Lapsley coming in.
Pearl Jam. We're on Pearl Jam.
Brilliant, yeah. Brilliant.
They keep asking me, but...
Well, we look forward to seeing what we got lined up for 2017 on this podcast as well. Okay, we'll leave it there, lads. Thank you so much. Have a great Christmas, boys, and we'll see you in January.
You too, okay.
We're going to play a tune now from a band that have been on this podcast, and they played Psychfest the year before last, or the year before this, and they also played the closing party of Liverpool Music Week, Chris.
They did. They played on stage at a brand new venue called Meraki, and they didn't play their big single, Super Touchy, which you asked them to play, I think, on the podcast.
They never played that one.
They never played it, and they were sneaking off stage.
They did, yeah.
They were sneaking off stage when they finished the set, and the room was packed. And I just started a chant of Super Touchy, you know, the chorus line, and it kind of caught fire, and they had to come back on and play
it. And they'd done it.
So I apologise.
So, Chris, it was all your fault.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. We'll check that out as well. If you listen back, I think it was about 2-3 months ago, we got that live in session at Tankfield, Super Touchy by Strange Collective. But this is Strange Collective and called After Eight. Chris, Sam, we'll see you in January. Nice one, lads.
See you. Cheers,
thank you.
Above myself, and I don't care where you go, 'cause I can. something is running. So, not go down, not get out, not go down, not get up.
How cool does that sound? Strange Collective from the October edition of the Merseyrail Sound Station podcast. They're live in session right here on the Wirral at Tankfield Studios. Now listen, you can hear all of our previous podcasts on our website and watch videos from live sessions from throughout the year. They're on our YouTube channel. Some great live sessions. We created a little special set here at Tankfield Studios a few months back. It looks fantastic and it sounds good as well. So check that out. Big well into Chris and to Sam from Bido Lito magazine for giving us their thoughts on the year of music on Merseyside. Make sure you grab a copy of Bido, the December edition, then of course January. And also big thank you to everyone who's got involved in Merseyrail Sound Station this year, whether you entered the prize, whether you performed at one of our pop-up stages, maybe at a festival, maybe you just came and supported us or come into the studio to do a session. Big, big thank you to you. Each one of you proves that the music scene is alive and well on Merseyside, and we love shouting about that fact. We're going to have more great artists to bring you in the new year. Until then, have a brilliant Christmas. Enjoy our next track from Beach Skulls, another band who appeared at Tankfield many moons ago and this year brought out a fantastic album. This is called Dreamin' Blue, and from all of us at Merseyrail Sound Station, have a happy Christmas. We'll be right back.
is for Liverpool Central. The next station is...
This has been a podcast from Merseyrail Sound Station, the new music network. Follow us on Twitter at MR Sound Station and like us on Facebook. Get there by train.